Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Muni Singh, Episode 9. In this installment, Yogi, Margot and the two girls leave Detroit and fly to England. An Atlantic crossing by air. A touchdown at Gatwick. A Cockney Indian giving directions. A chrome train south to Sussex. A mess of bags, kids, passengers. A red brick city going green. A journey winding towards sunset. A pulling in at Chichester station. A ticking taxi to a country cottage. An old brass key beneath the mat, a hill of bags dumped in the hall, a welcome note under the fruit bowl, a rag doll child carried upstairs, another sleepwalked to her bed, a ceramic lamp left on between them, a creaky slow descent downstairs, a fire built up from the wood box, a cup of tomato soup with rye, a quiet relax in front of the fire, a slowing down to red coals, a chiming clock, its after silence, a glowing stick of Nag Champa, a nestling into forgetting, two souls asleep on a velvet sofa. Three Dimple Lane nestled among the oaks, with wheat straw roof and hazel rod cross hatch to slow the theft by a legion of morning birds. They were crafty peckers, cadging bits and pieces from a country cottage's premium market value. Last season's Thatcher man had placed fake birds, a peacock with a clutch of sheaf-twine chicks. The omens of straw were upon the house of straw. With trellis roses climbing the whitewashed walls and some day hope of country Elysium living, residents were forever passing through like birds en route to another nesting box. One night or a life is just a short-term rental. So, what then lasts, was Yogi's thought. Was love a stopgap house against his loneliness? He sighed, then turned, hoping for hearty soup, entering through the stained glass kitchen door, but found a no man's land of little women. The calm was still a standoff, and he, its ghost, who drifted past the refrigerator, cold.
"Mum, can I pour? Mum, can I flip?" asked Pauline, asked Adele. "Mum, where's the sugar? Mummy, where's the lemon juice?"
"Take it easy, I'll try the pantry."
Pauline dragged an animal squeal from a chair. Up there they perched, Adele spatula-armed on their lazy Sunday pancake fun day, although it's Monday. Forgetful, happy, they're sprinkling English sugar on lemon juice, knife and forking through the filigree crepes until buttery nostalgia starts to bloat.
"Mum, when are we going home?"
Yogi slumped on the living room floor, the Bhagavad Gita in his hand, picked up that day in Singapore, a guidebook to his promised land. The Gita was a Q&A. Arjuna is on the battlefield, quizzing Krishna why he must slay beloved ones, his heart unwound. Better to let conscience object, die before killing kinsmen, gurus. One bad act has its ripple effect. Dry mouthed, he slumped before the kurus. Thus read Yogi on the floor, wondering how to win his fight with two little females fighting their war ever since his wedding night. An idea struck. He would cut
cardboard and write out verses on each card and intuit meaning in accord with the Bhagavad Gita, however hard. Now came their outing hour with hats and coats from Dimple Lane into Big Chichester. Taxi time ticked over. The cathedral, please. Pauline had headphone ears, Adele glass fox eyes, wedged between parents. Taxi time trundled down hedgerowed lanes of gates, driveways, letterboxes. Geriatrics jogged to the shop for morning papers. A group of geese waddled onto the road, the barking terrier of a man behind them, arms waving. White honkers skipped and wrangled through the hedge's hole. "Hey, look," said stepdad. The girls plugged in, blocked out, ignoring the enemy. 9 AD Norman Spire kept God inside safe towns. See the floor plan. Centered cross, go altar-wise. Progress pilgrim, humbly step up to heaven. Then back to earth. Does life hereafter start or end right now? Left to wander about, Adele and Sister Paul dawdled down the aisle, not so impressed by 9-point star parquetry underfoot, nor vaulted roof ribbed like a Viking longboat upside down, nor arches in stone supporting the long nave, nor polished pews lit by candle holders, nor the organ playing tunes decidedly dead to funky ears. They will walk the aisle to meet their future husbands, give rings, take vows. Today, however, they are too young to care a fig leaf for anything other than strawberry double ripple ice creams they have been promised. Margaret and her lover rock side to side and forget the clock, finding respite as two, not four, like Richard the Earl and Eleanor. They clasp palms in white repose, lap dogs snoozing at their toes. Arundel's table tomb, death's throne, 600 loving years in stone. And yes, today life gasps at death as loving marble holds its breath. Chagall uplifts now red and blue, creation's dancing stained glass view, and fires up love to ride roughshod across the pain breathed on by God. Inspirited here, Yogi slips a simple kiss onto her lips. Lunch and double ice cream, a signpost walk to museums, pubs, a flower show, cream tea, an hour's stroll around the Roman wall that's been 5 meters tall 2,000 years. The girls were not adventurers, just bored, and dragged their little heels on down the path. This history walk far from Adelaide, talking about Papa.
"Can we call later? I'm tired, Mummy," moaned Pauline. "Let's go."
While Adele played glass eyes. Poor Margaret knew the game was up. It was time to get a sleepy cab at the square. Away they went. Miss Walkman hardly saw the languid river. Miss Glasseyes paid no heed to the bumpy bridge, stone-masoned, as halos of black gnats were fish-food hour upon the village slime. A man was casting a fly beyond the midges.
"Stop the cab," said Yogi.
"Do we have to?"
the girls complained.
"For a second," he said.
The driver stopped. Yogi wound down his window to see the line whiplash. A leaping fish was making its escape across the river. The fisherman worked his line. Soon all heard the scream of the reel as tussle then took place. The fish lunged to the right until the angler checked him. Then he dived, causing the rod to dip but the spring of it was strong. He had to rise, shattering the plate glass surface, its back smacking like a hand, then plunge down deep, grappling with nylon taut against his body. The fish fought on, diving to gain leverage with its tail, as if to ram the enemy. But it grew tired. Soon it was over. The fisherman reeled in and scooped up shining silver in the net.
"He caught it, Mummy,"
said the fierce Pauline. Adele was silent. She was ever thoughtful. Yogi was remembering his father, the fisherman, an outdoors sporty ego so deft and quick, unlike inadequate Yogi. They once went fishing up the Shoalhaven River. Yogi caught nothing, while the expert coaxed a big brown trout from its hide hole with a spinner cast out and dropped below the spitting falls. The fish was himself thrashing again against Superior Dad. He flinched, whining the window. "Let's go, mate," he said, and soon the cabbie puttered homebound into Dimple Lane. Arriving back, they bathed and lit a fire. Yogi piled up rapid pasta dinners. Cheesy peace achieved, the girls were nodding and soon zonked out across their worn-out parent. Seeing the two love-bonded to his Margot aroused a twinge of jealousy, he sighed and thought his work had warranted acknowledgement, some value-added love, having tried so hard and long without a gripe. He counted up 4 countries, U.S. in-laws, thinking he'd done okay to travel thus into her past. He was the suitcase man, after all, the lug to lug the luggage. If only she would look up and just smile, but she was drifting off with fresh concerns. As red to green, the flames flared on the log, overtaking his needy moment. Where were those Bhagavad Gita cards? Stuffed down sideways into the sofa. He retrieved them and quickly began to shuffle hard, selecting one at random. Oh, Arjuna, the best of yogi sees oneself in being after being and feels their pain and pleasure as one's own. How far he was from that. Yoga in action, not some lofty book, just one card tricks. He couldn't sense her coming trepidations about those priggish Parisian ex-in-laws and girls still sparking his unsteadiness reflected in the mirror of themselves. All he felt was a muted future hope. He returned the card, thinking at least he can sit back and watch the sun set in the yew. The trickster tree and wind were shuffling a clutch of larks in the branches. He forgot his worries. Funny, he thought. Is this the lesson, then? Becoming a you and learning to juggle birds? Meanwhile, Margot, half-conscious, was now rehearsing a future coming fast. Yes, Paris was her student stomping ground, those pensions of the pleasures and the pains, where the bed of sex had been a language lab and comfort food, just like a dunked croissant. Returning now might be the wake-up call for the strange ghost still lounging in her head. But she wasn't really coming back for them. Would meeting Paris, Grandmama and Papa open a wider door for the girls? She felt it a family duty to connect their southern continent to a northern past in case she was not going to be around. Travelling to India was a vast idea, without a timeline and a clear agenda. And could a mum assuage her sense of guilt at sending them away from her so soon? She looked across, acknowledging him at last. He seemed relieved, and yes, she needed him. So far, her males had raided her like Northmen, leaving her with wounds and broken pots. He was green, yet he was kind and honest. That was her comfort, and she needed that. Our pleasant English time is up, she thought. Tomorrow is for those awake to see.
You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a first novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another installment. Thank you.